You're listening to the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network.
It's the podcast in the Broadcast Basement.
Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day it's different. They change, but they don't know what they want. All they do is change. Going left, going right, travel day, travel night, that's where we'll go. No excuses, no goodbyes, no one cries, no one lies, we'll never know.
You're listening to the Bucks in the Basement, found everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at bucksinthebasement.com. Craig, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, you're fired up, too. And let me explain something to folks. We've been recording this now live on Monday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern time in the Podbean app, and it's very easy to get that. Go to bucksinthebasement.com, and if you're on a device that uses apps, it prompts you right away, do you want Podbean? It's free. Sign up, get an account, listen through there. Otherwise, just look up Podbean on either Google Play or in your app store on iTunes, whatever you want to do on Apple. They've got Podbean, and then you sign up, and you'll get notified when we're live. We're always live at 9 p.m. Eastern. The easiest way for us to record and get guests on right now has been with the live room, which I discovered when the world went upside down, and I had to do this with a bunch of my other podcasts. We might do this like this forever now, the Monday night get-together, and then it comes out on Tuesday morning. But I always started 10 minutes early to check the microphones, and Craig gets on, and I had to tell him, like, at one point, I was like, dude, other people might jump in and listen to you, and he is F-bombing left and right. The man is fired up. So without further ado, I hand over the show to a man who has been drinking now for 4 hours or more at this point, according to him himself, and he is one fired up young man. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good tonight, brother.
Oh, snack it off.
I am.
You can't hide behind
I'm
what
solid.
You did. You're solid. Everything's good now.
I got all my aggression out. Like, here's the thing is, I understand there's a lot going on.
You need to give the aggression right now, because what you told me, this is the second time this has happened to you.
This is the second time it's happened to me, but I had worn this site probably about, I don't know, when I was started writing for SI, so probably about 6 months ago.
Okay.
That they have a guy on their site who is writing prospect articles that pretty much pulls my prospect articles from our site.
Right.
And then posts them directly onto his site like it's his stuff. And he does it within a week every single time.
So instead of doing the research, he just reads Craig Toth and writes his story over again?
No, sometimes it's not even writing it over again. Sometimes it's just like changing a word here or there. I mean,
are you kidding me? Okay. So it's time now. You got to say something about it. You do. Because if anything, like the last time we had a problem like this, what we had was another podcast came along and tried to duplicate what we had just talked about. And you were aggravated about it. It was a brand new guy who had taken on a podcast that had been defunct for the Pirates. He kicked off his first podcast and he was clearly ripping us off, and then never went back and podcasted again after you called him out. Like, he just disappeared.
Yeah.
So we crushed that opposition. It's time to crush this as well. I hate people that steal from other people. You know how many of my ideas across the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network have been stolen by regular terrestrial radio or television stations in the last couple of weeks because they're all at home and they actually have to be creative on their own and they can't come up with anything and they can't go into their studio and they can't use all their contacts because everybody's stuck in their house. So they're listening to podcasts and they're stealing off of them. It's an epidemic from coast to coast. It's happened to me on several other shows. So this is your moment here. Call them out. Give their names, say what happened. Let's do this, okay? Let's fire this up. And then I supposedly we may have Matt Capps on before this show is over.
Oh, I sure hope so. Because here's the thing, brother. I just want to talk baseball. And that's the part that frustrates me is like, here's the thing is me and Gary Morgan, you know what we do. We do over inside the Bucks basement.
You write stories, and then you call each other up on the phone like little girls, and you discuss what each other wrote. I understand. Okay? Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, but here's the thing is, for the past like 2 weeks with no baseball, we have done nothing but put out articles on the Pirates and articles on Major League Baseball. And we're like, here's the thing is, we're working hard to get this site going. And I had Bucks Dugout, basically, I had called them out about 6 months ago and said that you have a writer for you named Matt Clark, who's stealing my stuff. He's like basically taking my prospect stuff. Which, here's the thing is, it's good, it's bad, it's my own opinion, and he's basically using it as his own. So I told them this, and I told them this right at the beginning of March, that he took an article I wrote about Bly Majerus, who nobody knows who that is. So I basically decided at the beginning of last week that I was going to write a completely obscure Pirates prospect article. And there's this guy, his name is Cendric Apostle, and he was ridiculous for the Pirates DSL. It was a Pirates 1 team, who I know that like 99.9% of the Pirates fans, unless you're a prospect junkie, knows who this dude is. So I decided to write an article on him. Within 3 days, my exact article, with a few words changed, came out on Bucks Dugout. It's been taken down since, but I've been called him out on it.
Of course it's been taken down since because he's plagiarizing. Like, he's flat out plagiarizing and you called him on it. That's despicable. That's the worst thing you can do. It's the worst. It's one of those things, if you're caught the first time in your journalism class, they throw you out of the university for it. Like, you have no second opportunity. I have a degree in journalism. You don't get a second opportunity if you're caught doing that. That's exactly what that is. It's brutal that's going on. So at least it was taken down, right?
Yeah, it was taken down. I called it out like immediately, and I tweeted a bunch of stuff out about it. I was just basically like, guys, I'm like, and I posted my article right at the bottom of it, and it was gone within like 15 minutes. But I was just like, here's my thing is, guess what? I mean, I understand that. That's the part is, I understand that like we are all trying to figure out something to do during this point in time. But at no point in time would it like hop into my mind to take somebody else's article or somebody else's idea and copy it. Like, I that's the part that frustrated me the most is like I said, Gary and I are like sitting here, like trying to do the best we can with no baseball. And that's all I want to do is talk baseball. I've written articles on the 1985 team, the 1997 team, the 2013 team. Gary's written a bunch of stuff about, like, you know, the stuff that's going on with minor league baseball. I wrote a letter unabridged to Rob Manfred about how much I hate his guts. I mean, you have to come up with something just different. Gary wrote an amazing article today about the sweet swing of the left-handed hitter, which is a great article that I read.
Right.
And I told him, I said, Gary Sheffield, a good right-handed hitter. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like having those debates, and those conversations about baseball. Like, here's my thing is, this is a time for like writers and podcasters or whatever to pull together. It's not a time to freaking steal each other's crap.
Yeah, but this is going on. This is going on everywhere right now because those that have been able to get away with things easy are now sitting around going, now I have to be creative and I have to come up with something. And some of them have resorted to just grabbing other things without getting into details for it. Another show that I have on the Broadcast Basement On Demand radio network has been copied by a local television station. One of the things that we're doing that was getting huge numbers that we pivoted to when we couldn't do the show that we wanted to do because of all the social distancing. And then the last guest that we had on, which was obscure, they put out an article on their actual television website within 24 hours about the exact same person. And you would think it was they just listened to our interview and then wrote an article. Or they called them up because they had the idea after listening to them on our show. Because now you have people who have to come up with, what do I do? And instead of having a room full of people, some people are being told, hey, by the way, you know how we pay you all this money? Why don't you do something? And these people that sometimes probably glean these ideas off of other employees in the building are sitting at home and have to actually think for themselves, and they're grabbing things. And it's a shame, but that's what's happening. And it's listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not unique in this. I am part of a group. I was put into it by a good friend of mine that has to do with ideas that radio stations are doing during the COVID-19 crisis. And it's very, very obvious that there's nothing but panic across the entire spectrum of radio because they can't figure out what to do. And I know so many people that are on terrestrial radio who used to kind of giggle at the fact I was a podcaster who have reached out and contacted me and said, how do I do this? Because they're sitting in their basements now trying to go over the radio and they don't know how to kind of how they sound big still from their basement. And I actually laughed at somebody at one point. I said, as long as you don't call it the broadcast basement, I won't sue you because everybody's in their basement now. The regular radio people have had to become podcasters. The regular newspaper people have had to become bloggers. And the problem is some are very creative and are doing a great job, and some are being discovered as being hacks. And that was a hack that you had to deal with, and that's unfortunate. So anyway, let's get off of that. We have a caller on the line. It may be one of your guests.
Oh, my God. He signed himself up as Bull Rider. I love it.
Is this Matt?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. There's a little bit of delay. You and Craig are basically on the same thing, and it's like I'm calling you from Baghdad because there's a delay between me and you. It's just the way it is because I'm the one that's hosting it and decide the Podbean live thing. But we can hear you. How are you?
What are you doing in Baghdad?
Well, no, it just feels like that because for some reason there's a delay. Remember, like, when they were dropping bombs on Baghdad and you'd have Christiane Amanpour on there and it would take her 3 seconds or 4 seconds with her hand up to her ear because there was a delay getting around the world? That's kind of what it's like in this studio sometimes between the callers and myself. But you and Craig are right on the same thing.
I love it. That's,
I'm good. So if anybody's just joining us here, this is Matt Capps. He signed himself in as the Bull Rider. I freaking love it. The big Bull Rider, Matt Capps, he's sitting at home. He should be calling games right now, and I wish he was, man. It would be so awesome.
Me too. Heartbroken over this.
How are you keeping yourself busy?
I've got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old that find plenty of things to do, and we have good days. We have bad days. I had a day, what is today, Monday? Let's see, Friday, I looked at my wife and I said, I'm not in a good place. I'm not doing well with this. And she just kind of looked at me and she's like, all right, well, do what you got to do. And I just kind of distanced myself. And then lo and behold, Saturday, I woke up in a great mood. Sun was out. Hey, we're all together. We're all doing this together. How great is it? We get to spend all this time with each other. And she looks at me and she goes, I'm not in a good place. I'm like, all right, well, you have your day today and you know what? We'll get through this. So
I think that's happening to everybody. I was the exact same way the other day, Matt. My wife looks at me and she goes, what's wrong? I go, I hate people. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I hate all human beings. I said, I'm sitting here in my house. I'm social distancing. And there's like groups of morons walking around. My neighbors are having a party on top of their deck. And I'm like, none of these, it's not like they're a commune and they all live together. So this isn't flattening the curve in any way whatsoever. You're just making us all have to stay in our houses longer because you can't watch television for 30 days and not go out and see your neighbors. My son said the funniest comment ever. I'm going to tell you this. He's 12 years old. We're walking down the street. And it was just us out for a walk. I was taking a path where we wouldn't come across a lot of people. Whenever somebody was near us, we'd cross the street. I just wanted to get some fresh air. And we're walking along and he goes, Dad? And I go, what? And he goes, there must be a lot of lesbians in this neighborhood. And I go, why do you say that? And he goes, because there's no way all these moms are all breaking the rules and walking around in groups. And he nailed it right then and there. It's like he nailed it down right then and there from the mouths of a 12-year-old. He buried it right there. And that's why on Friday I hated all human beings. And my wife did the same thing. She said, just do what you need to do to get back in your right frame of mind.
Yep. Go be you for a little while. I think it's happening all across the country right now. It's, you know, we need baseball to bring people out of it. Back at the last 75 years, anytime there's been any kind of country, what's brought us back? Baseball.
Yeah, anytime there's ever been a problem in this country, that's what brings us back. That's for sure.
Yep. 9/11, you look at Mike Piazza hitting that homer in Shea Stadium, and you know, it's then George W. throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium in the World Series, and it's like, you know, we're going to be all right. We're going to get through this.
Exactly.
And I think we're at a point right now where we need that.
No, I get your point exactly with that. Just, you know, and one of the other things I was once told by a college professor. Well, no, it was a high school professor. Because now I realize when it was. I was in high school back when the strike happened. And I remember him sitting there saying, this won't last forever because America needs baseball. Like, at some point, this will get worked out. Because there's no way that the country can move forward without Major League Baseball. It changes everything. If people aren't sitting around talking about the game, they're talking about politics. Like sports, especially baseball, is like the great equalizer that calms people down. Like you can have a conversation with your right wing and your left wing friends all in a room, but if you're talking baseball, everybody's on the same page. Nobody gets offended. It's like the great equalizer, and it's not around right now, and we need it badly.
That's right. Yeah, you can have a disagreement with sports, and you know, finish the conversation in a disagreement, and then go to lunch together. You start talking politics and get in a disagreement, you know, I don't even want to start with it. I deal with it all the time, but you get into a disagreement, you know, politically speaking, you're not going to lunch with that person, you know, for the next month. So
I'm trying to think of how we can talk baseball, because that's all I want to do right now. I just want to talk.
Well, you already did enough drinking. That's why you want to talk baseball. Man, he's been drinking since 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Some guy stole his article and put it on another Pirates website. And the guy has stolen three of his articles so far. And they took it down the moment that Craig like sent his article, was showing it was almost word for word. So they took it down off the site. He's all fired up. He's been sitting in his backyard next to the bonfire drinking. And today, like, you were in a bad place on Friday. I was in a bad place on Friday. He's in a bad place today. So he's very happy you jumped on the line to take his mind off of it.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad.
So here's the thing is, the one thing we haven't heard about since, you know, baseball kind of ended, they've been talking about Clay Holmes and him coming back from his injury. I'm wondering where Stephen Brault is at. I mean, I know he put out an album and he's got a great voice, but I'm still wondering about that slider that he's been working on. And so have you heard anything, Matt, about Brault's comeback?
No, I've heard nothing. I know I have zero insight more than you guys probably know more than I do.
You're a pitcher, and you know you had a good career. So how hard is it, do you believe? I mean, just looking at all the mechanics and the things that you have to do as a pitcher, even in a given year, when you're coming off of something where you have to work your way back, kind of give us an idea of what would probably be entailed in that kind of a comeback.
It's tough. It's real tough. I mean, I think about 2009. My last year with the Pirates, numbers-wise, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the worst year of my career, but I got hurt. And then, you know, for me, I never really shut it down. I rehabbed most of that summer. I came back, I think, either the last couple of days in August or the first couple of days in September, and I went straight into rehab right after that, continued rehabbing and trying to get my shoulder better, and yeah, I just never allowed my body time to heal and time to rest. And that's an important part of playing in the big leagues is learning how to let your body rest and learning how to shut it down and letting your mind rest for that matter too. Because you kind of mentally have to reset, and then you know that allows you in time to live and be a person, and then get back after your craft. So. You know, there's a couple of steps to it. He physically has to get right first, you know, and then mentally he has to get over the hurdle of, okay, I'm physically, I'm healthy, I'm healed, I'm ready to go. So let me get out and compete. You know, well, you can't compete right now. You can throw bullpens. If he is 100% healthy, this could be beneficial this downtime because he, you know, hopefully he's able to throw bullpens and get some kind of work in and, you know, during the quarantine, you know, I guess you could stand 60 feet away from each other. That's 10 times what they're recommending, but
just have to wipe down the ball every time you throw it back.
Yeah. I mean, that's the tricky part, like baseball and basketball and, you know, anything with a ball other than golf, whoever you're throwing it with, they're touching the ball and they're throwing it back to you and you're touching it. So, you know, I guess germs.
Well, that makes it, right? So. Well, that makes me think about, I know that Jameson Taillon stayed down in Bradenton. I don't know if he's still there, but he was just basically trying to play catch with like anybody he could, because he's sitting down there trying to rehab his second Tommy John. And it's a little bit different than it normally would be, because at that point in time, you would have, I mean, I know he said he had trainers standing there watching him. He had all kinds of stuff, but like, this has to be like a weird world to rehab in, because I mean, you got to work on your own stuff, but then you also have to do it in a way where you can do it in front of somebody or do it with somebody who can teach you, you know, the right way to do it, to change your mechanics or whatever would be doing. It's a crazy thing, man. I mean, that's the part that gets me, is if you have an injury going on right now, you're trying to work it back, and hopefully you've got yourself in a camp or something where you could do that. But like I said, James and Tyon thought he would be down in, you know, Bradenton doing whatever. And then now he is searching for people to just even play catch with. I mean, it's insane. Yeah.
Well, the rehab, I think the toughest part of the rehab in a time like this is there's so much hands-on, you know, activity. There's the trainers with soft tissue stuff. There's trainers helping you ice down and warm up, that, you know, you're face to face with guys, and, you know, you there's no such thing as a personal space bubble in a training room. So going through the rehab process with, you know, soft tissue work, massages and whatnot, doing the manual strength training, you know, all that stuff. I don't know how they're doing that. It's impossible. If they're really in quarantine and they're not, you know, within 6 feet of each other, there's no way they're getting that kind of work in.
You know, man, I had a quick question for you concerning what's going on now and what it's going to affect, how it's going to affect pitchers coming back. Because you hear all these different theories, and right now I just feel it's just people are throwing ideas out in the wind, because nobody knows how long this is going to last and what MLB is going to do. Are they going to play with people in the stands, without people in the stands? Are they going to start in June? Are they going to start in July? Is it going to be some crazy tournament with every team involved in it, like March Madness that starts off in September? I've seen every proposal known to man, and we just don't know what's going to happen. But the question is, how long would it take if a pitcher isn't able to get in their regular work right now because of the restraints, and they're not able to do what they normally do? How long would it take you? What does it take a normal pitcher to get back on track and get going again? Because spring training is normally a lot longer than whatever they're going to give these guys. Like, if they figure out they're going to start this thing, they're probably getting a week or two to warm up. Is that enough, or should we just expect, like, we're lucky we have baseball out there, but it's not the best product for the first month or so?
Yeah, so if they're only going to give them 2 weeks, I think they need to expand rosters and allow a couple extra pitchers, and not expect the starters to go more than 4 or 5 innings the first couple of starts. So Okay. For me as a reliever, even as a reliever, my whole big league career, I started in the minor leagues, and it takes longer, obviously, as a starter. But as a reliever, I felt like I was ready to go with probably about a week left. So if spring training, normal spring training, 6 weeks, call it 4 weeks of games, I was ready in 3 weeks of games. As a reliever. So, I mean, I think you can get out and be serviceable in less than that. But, you know, now you're going to get into the conversation with players and the Players Association of protecting careers. And, you know, us as me on the other side of it, being just a fan now, you know, I don't want to see guys risk their careers to get back and, you know, accomplish something this year. You know, on a shorter amount of time. You know, maybe it's a little different because they had spring training, and then now, you know, most guys are able to throw and are able to kind of stay in some kind of shape. Maybe it is accelerated, but, you know, we have to be aware of that too. I heard the Scott Boras proposal talking about taking the playoffs all the way up into Christmas and, you know, doing the American League playoffs in Arizona and the National League in Florida, or vice versa, and then the World Series at a neutral site. It all sounds great. I think it would be awesome. And believe me, I would love nothing more than to watch my kids open Christmas presents on Christmas Day and then watch Game 7 of the World Series that night. Like, that would be awesome. But now you got 25 guys, or 26 guys now on each team that are playing up until almost the new year. And then they're starting spring training in 6 weeks. They're going to have zero downtime. You're going to see a huge spike in injuries in 2021 if that's how it plays out. I think we can probably tiptoe around it and get away with it, extending the playoffs into mid-November, you know, maybe up into Thanksgiving. But you start getting into December and you're taking away from that downtime and training time for guys, you're going to start risking careers in 2021, 2022, and so on.
Look at what happens when you have pitchers that go deep into the postseason. A perfect example, Nathan Eovaldi. So he ends up going deep into the postseason in his free agent year, and he's pitching, and he's late into the season, and he came out the next year, and he just wasn't right. And there are other pitchers, there's plenty of examples, the list is long and distinguished, that get into their first playoff run, and you add an extra month of baseball to them and cut a month of recovery between the end of their season and when they have to start ramping it back up again, and you could see it affect their numbers the next year. You could push baseball deep into the fall, but the product in 2021 is also going to be affected by whatever you do in 2020 if you push things too deep, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a tightrope they're going to have to walk, but it does. I mean, it changes. I was only fortunate enough to play in the playoffs 1 year in my career, and it was just the first round of the playoffs. Definitely changes the way you train and the way you prepare. You know, so if they do extend it, you know, say we start seeing baseball games June 1st and, you know, they play the April schedule in October and they try to mix the May schedule in there with doubleheaders and whatnot throughout the year, and you got the playoffs going into November, it's going to have a huge impact on guys. Like I said, the way they train, the way they prepare, I think you will see a spike in injuries for pitchers. Not only playoff teams, but also teams that are playing a regular season month in October. It's just, you know, guys have trained for years and years and years to be ready and play April through September, and then you push through October basically on an adrenaline. You know, if you're in the playoffs, you're playing on adrenaline. You're pushing through on adrenaline. But you're trained and conditioned to play April through September. And that's just what the body's prepared for. That's how it's set up. And now you're changing that. So if they do it, and then 2021 starts, spring training starts mid-February, the season starts April 1st or the last couple of days in March, like I said, you're going to see guys getting hurt.
Well, Matt Capps, I want to thank you very quickly for coming here on Bucks in the Basement. We've run out of time, but I do appreciate you coming on and talking with us tonight. I know that Craig really appreciates it as he sits there on whatever is, what are you drinking, Craig? What do you got in your hand?
Right now I've got the Southern Tier Swipe Light because my wife has told me I need to drink the lighter stuff.
Yeah. Your wife is telling you, yeah, you're so bad right now. She's like, clean out the bad beer from the ice box. Like get the thing that's down there in the vegetable tray down at the bottom of the refrigerator that you said you were never going to drink, because right now you don't care what the taste is. So I know Craig is thankful that Matt got on the line. People are drinking way too much during this pandemic, Matt, but I appreciate you, Matt Capps, coming on the line, and thank you very much, my friend. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Guys, I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
That's awesome. There's Matt Capps right there, and I appreciate it. And my buddy, we're going to get out of here. I'm going to let you get back to what you're doing. Don't fall into the bonfire. You don't want to have to go to the emergency room, because while they're treating you for burns, you're going to end up with COVID-19.
I don't want that.
You don't want that. Everybody stay inside. If they're telling you to stay inside unless it's emergency, then going to the park with your children, drinking wine with four of your friends, none of those things qualify. Stay in your home. And maybe we'll get baseball back if everybody works together on this entire thing. This has been Bucks in the Basement Live. We will be back next week live again. This podcast will be put out tomorrow on Tuesday. My name is Chris. That is Craig. And thank you for listening to Bucks in the Basement, found everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at bucksinthebasement.com. Bye-bye, everybody. Now I see.